Want to hear about more than Housewives? Visit us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/knowthatpod to sign up for exclusive content.
What's up, babe?
Hi. Oh, babe, that's cute.
Yeah, I thought I mixed it up a little bit. A little romance.
Yeah, I like it. Stuff.
Well, not really romance, a little term of endearment there.
It's romantic.
How you doing?
I'm great. So we're back home, letting people know our location. We're back home.
We're back. Back from Pennsylvania and Thanksgiving festivities.
Mm-hmm. We were in and out.
in and out. We were there for like 2 days, long enough to, I mean, it was a pretty mild holiday compared to what we had.
I got defensive already just when you said long enough to, I was like, to what? Because I thought it was a good trip.
It wasn't bad. It's definitely been worse.
Why are you so hesitant to use the word good? I said it was a good trip. You said it wasn't bad. What was not good about it then?
No, I'm not. It wasn't. It was a good trip. It was a good trip. I'm not saying that it was bad. Nothing went, you know, sideways. We didn't have any Hadfield family drama. That
we didn't. And you know what? We even played. Happened. We even played like games, and nobody got reckless. Some members of my family, my father being number one, but like select other members as well, are not great with competitiveness and with games and with whatever, and definitely have had some issues in the past, but we played games this Thanksgiving and it all went well until my dad couldn't figure out how to play that one and he left halfway through and ruined everything. Then you almost saw a different side of me. But besides
I got mad because he ruined the game because we couldn't continue without him. But for years, like, yeah, we haven't been able to play certain games with your family or change the way we play games because there could be no point system because if your father lost, he would turn into a large child. That's basically the only way I can put it. And it made me angry because, like, as the child of an athlete, there is always a winner and a loser. Right. And you lose with grace. You try to win with grace. I mean, you can do some smack talking because you deserve it, but, you know, not too much. But, like, it did frustrate me for years that we couldn't, like, have an actual winner or loser, and we had to play for the, you know, the fun of the game. That did kind of get on my nerves.
And some games are just fun throughout. And, like, so I didn't really mind it because, like, whatever, Pictionary or Taboo or like anything where you have to be creative and come up with captions and stuff like Jackbox. Those ones are just fun. So if there's not a winner, I still do have fun with them. But with that said, because you have fun with them, it shouldn't matter if you personally win or lose because like you still had fun throughout. Like Monopoly, I would never. Monopoly, I feel like it matters who wins. Sorry, feel like it matters who wins because they're not fun games. Like you're playing to win. But those ones where you get to be creative and like make people laugh and stuff, if you win at the end, it doesn't matter because I still had fun throughout it. And that's what I never.
I think Monopoly is a good example. Like if you don't win in Monopoly, the game doesn't end. So there is no, that is not a game you want to play indefinitely. There is clearly a winner and a loser in Monopoly. And like you said, that's fine for certain games, but like, you know, it's just the games are set up with a point system for a reason.
Right.
Not only just for the, you know, the winner to win, but as an ending point. So it's just like, that's another reason why I'm like, let's just do it. But this, you know,
my dad, it was great. Yeah. My dad doesn't like cool when things are unfair. Like
or what he sees is unfair.
Well, sometimes they are. I do take his side, even though I think he's wrong. Like, I do think what you're seeing is unfair, but I also think just suck it up. You're like 60 years old plus, 60 plus. Let's just like play this freaking game. Because like he'll watch The Challenge or he'll watch Survivor and stuff. And if they introduce a new twist, he's like, that's a setup. This is just bullshit. I'm like, yeah, but you're not on it. So why are you so emotionally invested?
Well, people get emotionally invested in all that stuff. It just so happens that his emotions are erratic. So I don't think that's out of the ordinary.
Good thing I didn't get that from him.
Yeah, as you sit here defending him being like one of my favorite things to see Donnie defend his parents for certain things that they do. Not that they do anything terrible, but you do make a lot of...
No, I do that anyway. I'm an Enneagram 3, so I truly see both sides. Even with Candace, whom I absolutely despise, there are still times when I like defend Candace.
Well, right is right and wrong is wrong.
No, but even it's not even about right or wrong. It's about I can see both sides.
I think we just said the same thing, but that's fine. But the point we're trying to express to people is that this was a pretty good trip. Nobody got called an idiot. Nobody stormed off and cried.
No, but even that one time when my dad called my sister an idiot during a board game, I went back, like, I was traumatized. First of all, I was traumatized that you were there for that. But then I was traumatized that it just happened at all. So I went back to work after the trip and I was like, can you believe this is what happened? And they were like, that's it? That's all that he called him?
You can't tell that story to like people of color for the most part, because I know personally the conflicts in your family have been some of the mildest conflict. It's like almost like British. It's like it's it's shocking in its underwhelmingness. It's like he called her an idiot and she didn't respond at all. She just got up and like ran out of the room, like sobbing lightly. It's like I've seen my mother slap my father across the face. I've seen her punch people in the face for like not getting her change right. We're not the same. So like that was just like I had to hold in a laugh. I was like literally sitting there like
no, you were not. You're not gonna rewrite this.
And then I laughed. I was shocked and then I laughed.
And then my mom said, so we want to play another game?
No, I'm gonna tell you exactly what she said. She looked at everything. Your sister ran out of the room crying. Everybody got quiet. My mouth like fell open. I was kind of like shocked, but not like horrified, just like a little shocked how quickly it happened. And then she just looked and she gave the most earnest face I've ever seen. And she was just like, let's play another game. It was the most WASP thing I have ever seen in my life. It was like, we're not going to talk about what just happened. Let's just move on. And I was like, wow. And that's when I started laughing. Anyway, we're back home from Thanksgiving. And yeah, everything went pretty well. We recently became vegan. And to my surprise, Dottie's mother was able to adhere to that.
Yeah, we got in a fight about that too. Because as you said, I do defend my mother. And you were like, she's going to mess it up. She's going to put butter in it. She's going to think there's something non-vegan whatever.
I thought she would.
Well, I got around it. I had vegan butter shipped to her house. But it turns out she had already bought some ahead of time. So that wasn't even necessary. She did a good job.
She did do a good job.
And it was very thoughtful of her, too. Yeah.
It was very good. No complaints about that. Well, I guess we should be getting ready for our guest. Perfect. And we have Gus Castellalis coming, and we're excited about that. We're going to talk about Potomac. So
let's do it, Don.
Yeah, I'm good. So, everybody, please welcome Gus Castellalis to the pod. I hope I'm saying it the right way.
Yeah, that was great. Constantellis.
Constantellis. All right. Gus Constantellis, who's a very funny New York comedian. His impressions are ubiquitous. We love him for it. Welcome to the pod, Gus.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait
to get in. I want to apologize about my hair. I need to get my hair. There's some video for people. I look like a voodoo doll of myself. But yeah, we're going to talk about Potomac while you're here, the Potomac reunion. We also wanted to ask you about Thanksgiving.
So I live in Brooklyn and I'm from Brooklyn. So I just go to Bay Ridge to see my family. Okay. Yeah. My brothers live in Staten Island now because they're scumbags. And so, you know, it is what it is. It's true. You know, so I just went to my parents' house. It was great. It was lovely. We're Greek and we're immigrants. And so we really don't do anything. Like we just like first, like when we were kids, we had like a small turkey and then like a giant lamb and like spano copita and like pasticcio and tzatziki and like all this Greek food. And then as the years went on, my mom would like introduce American foods. Like one year we had gravy and I was like, whoa, gravy. Okay.
We coming up in the world.
Oh, we don't want I was 24 when we introduced sweet potatoes to the family. It was insane.
I kind of think that's a step backwards, but
I mean, right. It kind of is. But I was 22 when I had my first like traditional Thanksgiving meal. I was in charge of like organizing the like office Thanksgiving lunch. And I had to like go into my boss's office and be like, listen, I'm not from here. This country does not do it for me. I don't know what the fuck I should be ordering for this lunch.
I love how Brooklyn you are. Like, he's wearing a Brooklyn shirt.
I know.
Born and raised in Brooklyn. You don't meet many people who are like born and raised in New York. That's crazy.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's a great place. It's honestly a great place to grow up. People are always like, I would never want to raise my kids in New York City. I'm like, why not? Do you not want them to be like progressive, open-minded individuals that can take care of themselves? Is that what you don't want for your kids?
The only reason I am one of those people that say that, but the only reason I wouldn't is because of pushing like a stroller. Everything else, everything you said, in terms of forming them as a person, yes, let's raise a kid in New York. In terms of me like not wanting to sweat carrying a stroller down those fucking steps, we have to move to the suburbs at least.
That's reasonable. And that's reasonable.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I guess for that matter, we should give it up for Gus's mother. Because, I mean, damn.
Right.
Because that had to happen, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we can get into this episode. We had this one. It was a very slow Bravo week for Housewives. We only had one episode of Potomac, and it was the fourth reunion with Nicki Minaj. Okay. First off, I want to know what you thought about Nicki Minaj being the moderator, Gus.
Well, first, before you answer that, how do you feel about Nicki Minaj in general? Are you a Barb?
I'm not a Barb. You know, I think I'll just say that she has some problematic things about her. We all know about them. You know, we can discuss them if we want. You know what I mean? I like the Nicki Minaj hits, but like, other than that, I don't really delve deep into the Nicki Minaj fandom. I've heard her like fans are like really, really intense. Like she has a very intense fan base. So, you know, I think I'll be careful about what I'm saying.
we don't want to be like, Docs.
All this to say, I enjoyed her so thoroughly yesterday, I have to say.
I mean, I did too. What about you, Donnie?
I don't know. I was a Barb for one time, but then I feel like I looked around and saw what being a Barb consisted of, and I was like, maybe I'm not. I think I need to step back for a second.
Donnie decided to stay in the beehive.
Yeah, like I saw her in concert a few times, and when she came on stage, my knees buckled. Like, I truly was all about Nicki for a little bit, but her performance on this reunion, I think, and now I'm going to insult two fandoms, so I really will be doxxed. I apologize, Quinn. But like, Nicki's performance here, I think Nicki is just so into playing a character of herself that like, it seemed ingenuine to me. Like, I feel like Cardi doing this would have... Cardi is who Cardi is, I think. And I'm not like a Cardi head or whatever they're called, but something felt off with Nicki. So like how Ariana Grande, I'm terrified for her to play Glinda because Ariana's always playing Ariana. I saw Nicki playing Nicki and she couldn't really like, it seemed off to me. I knew there was a woman playing a character on that stage.
I mean, I was a bit triggered because it was like, you know, one half Chuck E. Cheese animatronic character, and then another half of like being interrogated by my ghetto aunts at Thanksgiving. So I felt very like the way she asked those questions, it was like a lot of judgment and shade mixed with some supportiveness. Like, that is talking with my aunts at Thanksgiving. And I was just like, this is entertaining as hell. Because it's not me.
Well, I will say, after I also watched all four parts of the reunion like in one night, like I watched three of them yesterday and then I woke up and watched this one, and like four, Andy, you did four parts of this season.
Right.
This needed to be 2.5 episodes. I don't understand why we needed four parts. And so by the time Nicki came on, even the women were like, oh, I feel less tired. And I'm like, I feel less tired. Like, oh my God, Andy, wake up. What's going on? So I was like, at least there's some new energy here, because it really started to drag for me.
Absolutely. And it was new energy. But I also feel like by the time Nicki came out, they were saying it was 10 o'clock already or something when she came out. So all the questions she could have possibly asked had already been asked. So
that's
like
really the issue, right? Yeah. So that's the issue with four parts. I also loved how much she just hates Ashley. You can tell she just does not like Ashley. And I hate Ashley too. So I was living for it, let me tell you.
Oh, who else? Yeah, while we're here. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the cast?
Oh, so I really enjoy Potomac. Potomac is like my favorite of the bunch, I have to say. It's so enjoyable. So enjoyable. I mean, I have to say, I really enjoy Candace. I think she's so annoying in like the best way. And like, she does stir the pot a lot. Wendy, I really does it for me. I think Wendy is so funny. This season, she's been really off, but her first season, I thought she was great. I liked, you know, Mia went on and off for me this season. Giselle and Robin are just fun to watch. And like, I despise Karen. I think one day everyone is going to just like the curtain will fall on Karen and everyone will realize that she's totally full of shit. And Giselle has been right this whole time. I really think so. Wow. She's the grand dame of
Surrey County.
Yeah. Some place that doesn't have Wi-Fi. Are you kidding me? Like, give me a break. I can't. I just threw a lot of hot takes at you and I can tell
unpack it.
You all, like, both of you were like reacting like this to everything I said. I feel like I'm watching.
We talk
a
about this
show.
Shit. Yeah. We talk about this shit every day. And we talk to a lot of people about it, from housewives to friends of ours on here. I have never, ever heard anybody say that they do not like Grand Dame Karen Huber.
Oh,
I welcome.
Can't stand her.
I
think she's full of shit. I just think she's totally full of shit. I think everything Giselle says about her, I'm like, yep. Yep, 100%. When are people going to realize this?
We love her for it.
Thing.
Like, she's playing this character. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Jackie's Back with Jennifer Lewis, but I feel like that's what Karen is doing. Like, she's this like diva trying to make a comeback, but she was never actually there. And that makes it even more genius and hilarious to me.
Okay, you know what? That makes more sense to me then. Got it.
Yeah, because everything you said, just flip that coin over so it's the opposite view, and that's where I stand. Like, I love Ashley. I love Candace. I mean, love Ashley, love Karen. Candace, I can see why she's good at her job, but I do not enjoy watching her. And Wendy, I just despise.
Wendy really had a bad season, a terrible, terrible season. And all this, like, she was being called out from the very get-go for what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And she keeps, like, arguing, like, why didn't anybody say it? And, like, everybody was saying everything to you at all times throughout the season. Like, chill out. And, yeah, I think she went in with, like, this is what I want to do this season. And it was wrong from the get-go. And she stuck to it. And that was a huge mistake of hers.
Most housewives do change after their first season. Second season shows some change, but normally I feel like that works for the housewife, and I feel this worked against Wendy. And I think she should have doubled down on being Dr. Wendy, or at least just toning that down. She didn't need to completely reverse it. There's nothing wrong with her changing her body. That's her right to do it. But for her to be surprised that everybody, you know, would be talking about how different she's behaving is a little like, odd to me that she doesn't understand that, considering it's documented how you were before and you're not that way now.
Our guest last week said that she doesn't have a sense of humor. And I think that truly is the biggest thing
about herself.
All these other women can laugh at themselves, where Wendy takes herself so seriously. And with her job, I do understand why, but like, this is your new job now. Like, that when you're clocked in here, you need to have a sense of humor.
Yes. And there was that moment where Nicki Minaj called her out on her husband following all those booty models. And she started laughing at it as a defense mechanism, but you could tell she wasn't genuinely like laughing at herself.
Yes.
And she was like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And then she got really serious and was like, I didn't do that. And I'm like, but you did. Like, there is literally 200 fewer followers on his Instagram page. Like, Wendy, talk to that, speak to that, laugh about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with following. Like, it's almost hard not to follow butts on Instagram. They're literally everywhere. Male butts, female butts. Any kind of butt you want is on Instagram and it's all in your face. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If she would have been better off owning that, in my opinion, and just saying like, you know, yeah, that's what happened. That's what he's doing. But when she makes it seem like she doesn't care what he's doing, that's just not true, because we know.
I also think that's something she holds herself and her marriage above the other ones. So like, she threw it in Mia's face that Mia had threesomes before. She throws stuff like that into Ashley's face. So now she says like, Eddie's following these booty models. That discredits her from being able to do that.
These women need to know some gay couples.
Ashley's marriage is horrible. Stress that enough. Every time they ask her a question about it, I'm like, Ashley, please just honestly here. She even like basically, I mean, Nicki Minaj even asked her like, hey, like, would you still be married to him if you had $100 million in the bank? And Ashley basically was like, not really, like essentially was her answer. And the other ones were like, no, I mean, Karen even was like, I love that man. And the other one, Robin, was it Robin who she asked? I totally forget.
Mia. Mm-hmm.
Mia. Oh yeah. Mia, you know, Mia. But like Ashley was like, I don't think so. I mean, she was 22. The man bamboozled her. Are you kidding me? He's trash. I can't do it. Put this on a billboard. He is trash. I hate him.
Oh yeah. Trash. We agree on that, Gus. I liked that Ashley was silent during, like, she let those people pick her marriage apart and she was silent and like talk about how Michael has a thing for Juan and how Michael wants to suck Juan's dick. She was just silent, let it happen. She didn't correct anyone or say like, that's enough, until Nicki Minaj called him gay. And then she was like, wait a second, Michael's not gay. But I too, I'm with Nicki there. When I like talk about Michael, I think of him as a gay man.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm saying.
I'm going to be real here. Yeah. I don't even think that's really what's important here. There's been plenty of non-gay people who have sucked my dick. So let's just be real.
He's 100% bisexual. I really do. I think he's just bisexual. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. But he really, really has a thing for Juan. And that's really uncomfortable to watch sometimes.
It is uncomfortable to watch, but understandable. And so we see this play out. And it's like these women have absolutely no context about the way different marriages and relationships can work. And that's probably the weirdest thing. I think as gay men, we understand probably better what's going on in their relationships than they do. And
correct.
That's very odd. Like, you know, you can, you know, his feelings about Juan, whatever they may be, the fact that Juan can be cool with that, like, there's no reason, like, you know, that they can't be cool. But like, you see that they don't really do a whole lot. They don't do reunions together. There's not a lot of if they were ever together one-on-one, Bravo would have cameras there. So we know that doesn't happen.
Right.
I feel like it's just a lot of, honestly, homophobia.
And that's why I think I connect with Mia, because her relationship, I do think that they can see things like this and recognize like what different relationships are. Like not everything mm-hmm. has to be like a white bread traditional marriage. And because they do have threesomes, I think they're open to the idea of other ones. And that is something I noticed with Wendy holding so tightly to what her marriage is, when like she was despised even by the fact that Mia would acknowledge that a married man was looking at her. And Wendy was like, why would you want a man to look at you? Why do you even know when a man's looking at you? Not my husband. People have eyeballs. That just is what it is.
A lot of things that I've said about Wendy and her thoughts on marriage and everything is very, in my opinion, greatly influenced by her culture. Mm-hmm. And her culture, Nigerian culture, is heavily religious in a lot of ways and conservative. And I've said this across the board, like, not for nothing, Black women overall tend to be very conservative, way more conservative than people give them credit for, especially in like as far as relationships and things like that. They are very often traditional. And I think that that's what we see with Wendy. And what she says, there are a lot of Black women who are like, yeah, that's true. You shouldn't be looking at other men looking at you. You shouldn't be doing all that. You're a married woman. Like, it's a very narrow view of marriage. So as much as I don't agree with Wendy, I do know she speaks for a lot of Black women in this country.
Right. I think that the women should be smarter about being able to just call that out and be like, Wendy, you're just very traditional in a way that I'm not.
Right.
And just being, because that's what they haven't said yet. Like, I wish Mia just been like, it worked. Like, she kind of did say this, where she was like, it works for my marriage really well. And like, it has helped my marriage. And like, good for her. And like, mm-hmm. I don't know, if they were just smart, if they were just like, not smart enough, but like, I guess experienced enough to just be like, hey, like, I have a different view on marriage than you do. And like, you're very traditional and I'm very much not. And that's okay. That's cool. Cause like Ashley has even said that like she had like a kind of an open thing with Michael at one point. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know, Wendy just strikes me as very traditional, and that's totally fair. But like, I don't know, have a sense of humor about it, as we said earlier.
Right.
If you are really traditional like that, then just be like, yeah, I listen, that's how I like my man. That's how I like my marriage. And that's just the way it goes.
It is the way it goes. I mean, me and you, Donnie, we've been married 6 years. We've been together for like, what, 9? Like, it's ridiculous to make it seem like we don't find anybody else attractive or nobody finds us attractive. That's not a sustainable model for a marriage. And for them to ignore that, it really just gets on my nerves.
Yeah, and I'm going to be open for a second. There was a time in the beginning of the relationship where I told you, like, I don't like to hear that. Don't look at other people. But for Wendy and Eddie to be, like, after all this time, it is something I've just grown past and whatever. Like, I realized I learned. For Wendy and Eddie to still be in that position where he, well, he couldn't even speak for himself last week. So, like, I do, I think that's
I don't think he said a single
word. This week either. This week they showed that when, I mean, Eddie and Chris were still there, but still we only heard Chris. Like, Eddie might not have a voice.
Poor Eddie.
Poor Idris. We get into more of the homophobia with Robin and Giselle being accused of being secret lovers, which here we go again. I think that Robin and Giselle are just really close friends. I think they read as really close friends. I don't think it seems to be anything other than that. How do we feel about the group? Because I don't want to make this all about homophobia, but how do we feel about the group basically using that to kind of like do a dig at their relationship?
I don't think there's anything odd about two women sharing a hotel room together. And like, I have plenty of straight female friends, married straight female friends, whatever, that have shared hotel rooms with each other and no one thought anything of it. So for them to like try to get them with that, that was an odd moment for me. In the beginning, I thought it was lighthearted. And even like when Nikki was picking who she would have sex with out of the group, I did think it came from like a not odd place necessarily. But then when they were like, wait, haven't you two shared a bed? That's when I said, what's going on here exactly?
I didn't like it.
It got weird. It did get weird. And you know who was really silent during it? Karen. And I thought that was strange. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, she was very silent. They cut to her like a few times. And I was like, Karen has some thoughts about this that she does not want to express right now. Let me tell you.
It's like, what does she know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or does she know better than to join in on this?
I think it was she knows better than to say something, because I think that whatever was going to come out of, you know, her mouth was going to be bad. Yeah, I really do.
She didn't want to get canceled.
Yeah,
maybe. But yeah, to wrap up this segment, I think that it's clear that Potomac from this reunion has shown it has a colorism problem, a gender role problem, a feminism problem, and now homophobia, which has been kind of going through the whole thing. And we still love them and watch them for it, but hopefully they'll get it right.
And an ageism problem.
Ageism problem. Yes. Let me forget. Let's we forget that.
Wait, you said to wrap up this segment, but who would be the woman you slept with out of this cast? Because they all seem to say Robin. Everybody. I think, and this might put me in trouble, this is probably why Karen just decided to shut up so she didn't get in the trouble I'm about to get into. I think Robin is equal parts feminine and masculine, and I think that's why she was everyone's answer, because she could like fulfill both roles if you were to sleep with a woman. Does that make sense?
You know, it really does make sense. Robin does have a masculine energy to her, and I really do enjoy that about her, me too. To be fair. I would sleep. So I think Mia, I would want Mia to top me for sure.
Ooh, okay.
So she'd be great. She'd be fantastic. You know, she knows exactly what she's doing. And I think I would want to have sex with, I guess, yeah, Robin as well. Weird. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely would pick Robin. We talked to her last week, and there was a lot of like, you know, I don't know. Like, I was like, I really like her. Like, she's very, I like how cool she is. Like, she's a beautiful tomboy. And I think there's always an appeal to that. So yeah, definitely Robin. Second would be Giselle. I mean,
oh, wow.
Giselle is so beautiful.
Yes.
She gives crazy energy to me. Like, I feel like there's a freak there we don't know about, because there's something going on. It's either really good or really bad, but I'm willing to try to figure out what that is.
It's Robin for me.
I mean, hey. So
Candace strikes me as like really vanilla in bed. I'll be honest.
Yes, me too.
Like super vanilla. Even when she made that one little side comment about not having butt sex until 25 years into the marriage, I was like, oh, honey, by that point, there won't be a butt to be doing anything.
Nobody, they won't want it. I can just totally hear her. I'm not putting that in my mouth. That's just all I hear from Candace. I'm like, no.
Well, to be fair, yeah. I wouldn't put Chris's in my mouth either. Sorry.
He's a tough okay. sell.
He is.
Very tough sell.
Moving on.
Moving on. So Nikki is coming hardcore for everybody. She came for Ashley to the point where Candace kind of stuck up for her about coming to work after she had the baby, which I thought was good to see. It made me believe that maybe they're, because we know that Candace and Ashley hang out outside of the show. It made me hope that a lot of their beef is just like for the cameras, which is great. Because I like, you know, I like playful, you know, drama. I don't like it to be like real, like I really hate you. I want it to be like, oh, we're going to, like with Karen and Giselle, I'm going to hate you on TV for six seasons, but I'll invite you to my house to get a plate of holiday or something and we can chill out and blah, blah, blah. And I saw this, one of the rare moments where I think I saw that from Candace with Ashley.
I think you're wrong, but I think that Candace really is bothered and will always be bothered by Ashley signing those papers for Monique last year. I don't think that they are going to hang out one-on-one. They were at the same event and photographed together with that blogger or whatever in the middle, or designer, whoever he was. They did take a photo together, but they didn't just like hang out, the two of them, at a barbecue. I think Candace, much like myself, just saw both sides with this. So even though she doesn't like Ashley, she still knew that what Nicki Minaj was saying didn't make sense and that there was a reason Ashley did what she did. And she stood up for the action and not the person.
I'm going to go halfway in between both of these arguments and say that I think that when the show first started, the beef was real and they hated each other. And then eventually they were like, they worked it out. It was one big fight. And then now they're like, let's, you know, we got a good thing going on here. Let's just, we, you know, you get it. You get it. You got it. Let's keep it going. Cause even this season, early on in the season, Karen and Giselle really started going at it. And I didn't feel like there was really a reason for it. I was like, okay, I get it. Like Monique is gone and we need something new. And so Karen is now calling her a broken whore from Northampton University or whatever. And I was like, that just came out of nowhere for me. I was
with
like
a fiery box. It's
episode one, girl. Calm down. Yeah. Like, it's okay. So I really feel like, yeah, I think that they realized at a certain point during the filming that they had a good thing going and like, let's continue it.
I'm going to add on to that because I absolutely think you're right now that you said that, because Chris, we've seen him get protective of Candace a lot. And even in this reunion, he came up to her at the end and said, like, I don't like what Nikki was saying to you. I don't like where the conversation went. And everyone was like, no, it's good. It's good. But when he was at, and that's why he doesn't like, what's his face? Michael, because Michael says things about Ashley that really trigger Chris. But Chris at the Wendy vacation, Chris was like kind to Ashley and saying like, yeah, you and my wife get in some scuffles, but like, we're okay, whatever he said. And I think if Ashley and Candace really had an issue, Chris would then have an issue with Ashley as well. So you're correct, Gus. You're onto something.
I think so. See, this is why I think I have such hot takes about all the women is because I don't really look at this. I like looking at reality TV and like this weird lens of like, why is this working for me? And I think that's why I like who I like, because I'm like, they're making the show work. You don't understand. Like, yes, you hate them, but you hate them because it's making the show entertaining. And like, that's the Candace of it all, right? Like, where would we have been last season if that whole fight did not break out? And like, you know, Andy even kind of called her out and, you know, basically victim blamed her a little bit. And it was like, you know, you are the common denominator here. And it's like, yeah, well, they kind of need that to keep it going. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I do like who I like and I don't like who I don't like.
That makes sense. I get that. Yeah.
Because who's that's pushing this needle forward? Yeah.
Well, which is why I bring up Ashley. Ashley puts in the work. Like, Ashley stirs up mess better than a lot of housewives across the franchises. Like, she's good at that. And everybody talking about like, oh, when Nikki was like, you showed up, got your breast milk, caused their drama and left. And I'm like, yes, she put in a day's work in about 2 hours. Like, she gave us episodes of content.
Yeah.
Episodes of content, just bringing her milk.
They were like, I think the producers may have called her and been like, hey, they're having fun on this trip. Can you just come? And they were like, and she's like, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm pumping, I'm on my way. Uh-huh. And then showed up and she was like, is your husband cheating on you? Great. No. All right. Oh, I gotta go. I have something to do, you know? Like, what?
Hold my breast milk.
Yeah,
yeah, like, that's
hold
exactly
my breast milk. It was great.
She's had multiple children within a short amount of time and never missed a day of work. I think Ashley is probably one of the most feminist people on television. She never, ever, she will hold that baby and do her job. And I love that about her.
She'll hold that baby and be like, yes, but Wendy, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, though.
And that's why I think this is what Candace stuck up for her on, because Candace is the same way. Candace knows this is a job and what she has to do to rile people up. So she was like, Ashley came to do her job.
And she did.
Yeah.
So Nikki comes for Giselle's beauty, which I think is a bold move. Looking at past video of Giselle, everybody gets a little older. We're looking 6 years back. You look at anybody six years back, there's a bit of a difference. I don't feel that Giselle's beauty has changed enough for anybody to be able to remark on it on that stage or probably in the audience. I don't think anybody can really take that away from her.
No.
And I thought it was very bold because Nikki says that she's asking questions from the Barbs. So I think that's where this was coming from. How can I say this? I don't want to piss anybody off. Nikki chose her face. Like, that's not exactly the face that Nikki was born with.
Uh-huh.
And
we've seen the face.
Yeah.
We've seen the picture. We've seen pictures. Your face isn't the same. Giselle was born with that face. And it still wins. So, like, I just feel like it was a bold move of Nikki to say that or to do that.
Only thing that's really changed about Giselle is, like, her neck. The wrinkliness. That's it.
Yeah.
But like it's. I mean, she's 6 years later. Yeah, it's gonna happen to you. Duh.
Right.
I don't think I agree with you. I don't think, like, Karen, we saw that there was a before and after.
That was remarkable.
I did appreciate them all being like, I thought you were in your 60s. And they're like, now they're like, you're in your 50s? What? And, it was funny.
And let's be clear here, black don't crack. It sags, but it don't really crack. But normally, like, you can't fool other black people, you know, like there's certain people who can't tell how old certain black people are. I can tell if you look like you should be hanging out with my mama. Like, I know. But Karen seemed older to me. So I was like, that's saying something. All these black people didn't know how old you were. But you look at, they show the flashbacks. Now you see the yassification of Karen Huger. And that's just money. Like, that's just money on Karen.
Yeah.
And it's just, of course, she looks great now. She's like a millionaire now.
Yeah.
She was not a millionaire 6 years ago.
True.
Total glow up. So then, in a fun twist of hypocrisy, Nikki throws stones at Giselle's relationship with Jamal. And I know what we're all thinking.
Well, people have been tweeting it a lot, so we don't even have to say it out loud, right? You know?
We don't have to say it out loud.
I mean, it is what it is. That, like,
Yeah. We're not going to say it, but I will say,
we are so afraid. We are so afraid.
No, I mean, listen, Nicki Minaj's husband is a rapist. I'll just say it out loud.
Right, yeah.
People have been saying it on Twitter. And like, if Barbs want to come for me, I don't know. I can't confirm nor deny that theory. I'm a little 5'2" man from Brooklyn. I don't know Nicki Minaj. I don't have her phone number. I can't call her. I can't figure this out. But I do know what I hear. And I think Nicki Minaj knows what she hears about Jamal Bryant. And, you know, maybe look at yourself too before you're coming from other people's marriages. And that's okay to say, I guess, if you want to attack me for it.
It is.
No, it is okay to say.
Again, I don't know.
Oh, Nikki. Yeah. I mean,
and what is crazy to me is, like, I don't know what that contract looked like. Maybe those women weren't allowed to retaliate. Maybe they just had to take what she gave them, whatever.
I think that they were smart enough not to say anything. You know what I mean? If I was sitting in those chairs, I would have been like, hi, Nicki Minaj. Hello. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
but yeah. Now it's over, though. And they're still, like, tweeting positive things about her. The only one that said anything, and it wasn't even about her, when Nicki Minaj was live tweeting the episode, and she said, like, no one has ever looked at Andy's cards before. And then Giselle said that about Wendy looking at the cards. And then Wendy was like, you haven't tweeted all season, why are you talking now? And that was, like, the only negativity surrounding the entire episode of TV. Nobody said, like, Nikki, why are you? Oh, actually, I lied right to your face. I apologize. Chris did say something like, why is she coming for my wife so hard? But even that,
right? I just think, like, honestly, what I think is, like, these women just know better. And they were just like, listen, we are here to shoot the Real Housewives of Potomac. Yeah. Nicki Minaj is not a real housewife of Potomac. I don't want to get involved in, like, something much larger than this is. Because we're here to do a job. And that job is to shit on Karen or to shit on Ashley. Right. Or to shit on Candace. And, like, not to, like, you know, open a can of worms that they don't want to open.
Yeah.
That's what I genuinely think. Because that like, makes- yeah, because I think like a lot of the times, like what they argue about on these reunions are just like, why did you say this on Twitter? As opposed to like, we're not going to go past the scope of this world and address that.
That makes sense. I'm just so not built for this world and this job that like I got defensive immediately. I was like, you want to talk about their marriage? Buckle up, Nikki. I have things for you. So I could never be a housewife.
I mean, there's a lot of things and like, I don't want to do everything. I'm just going to hit some hot points here because like there's so much, like so much happened. Nikki came for so many of them in so many different ways. We got to see things we didn't see before. Like, you know, I love an old pic of Karen since we were talking about that. Old pics of Karen always make me laugh. Old pics of her and Ray, because
they were incredible.
Ray is like, an old picture of Ray is like an old picture of New York. Like, even though it's supposed to be young, it still seems pretty old. And I love that.
Like an old picture of Danny DeVito, you mean?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're supposed to be young, but you're really nothing.
Yeah, yeah, nothing. It was just grayer. Like nothing looked different about Ray. Like that was Ray. That was Ray now with an obviously 20-year-old woman, but he looked no different in those photos.
He was maybe about 20 pounds thinner. I'd say that at most.
Okay.
Everything else seemed to be exactly the same. But God bless Ray. He's the oldest working black man on television. Leave him alone. So then we have the Candace shade from Nikki about her song Drive Back. I felt that was punching down considering who Nicki Minaj is in the music industry, and I loved every second of it. Thoughts?
I mean, but Candace did herself no favors the second that Nicki Minaj showed up on that stage, because she kept talking and Nicki Minaj just kept being like, Candace, like, shut the fuck up. Like, we don't want to hear from you right now. And like, yeah, Candace, shut up at one point. Like, no one is asking you this question. And then like, what I found the funniest part of the whole episode was when Nicki Minaj was like, how many albums did you sell? And Candace took 7 hours to pull up an infographic and then was like 20,000.
Yeah.
And Nicki Minaj was, everyone else was like, that's good. And Nicki Minaj was like, okay, next question. I was like, this is great. That was either great editing because they didn't want to put like Nicki Minaj being like, girl, no. Yeah. Or it was like Nicki Minaj being like, oh, well, I...
Then there's Mia, who's like, you got this information yesterday. You should know this. Like, you should already know where you are on the charts. And she's
exactly.
not wrong.
She's not wrong.
It's one number. Yeah.
I can tell you, how many listens our podcast got each day of every week and like the total combined. I can break down this full month right now. So for her not to have this, like,
I can tell you how many TikTok followers I had in January of 2020. Yeah. Come on. Like,
exactly.
Stop. Like, you know how many albums you sold, Candace.
Truly.
That's absolutely.
And 20,000 is not great, but it's not terrible either, to be totally honest.
No, it's not.
Especially because when Nikki had them rate the saw or rate what they thought the success would be from 0 to 10, 10 being platinum, like, no housewife has reached past a 3. At the end of the day, you're a housewife. No one's going to take you seriously. So like 20,000 probably is the best, Candy aside, because she is legit. I think no one went past 20,000 probably.
Right.
I think those are good numbers considering. But considering all the shade that she's thrown at Coffee and Love and Ashley, it's like, you know, you need to like, you know, it's like Beyonce. If you're going to like shit on people, you need to like deliver. You need to like make it where like nobody can say a word to you. I was listening to what, Survivor, Beyonce's old song. And I was just sitting there like, oh my God, she did everything she fucking said in this song she was going to do back in 2001. Like that is like, come on now. Like that, not only that, she topped that. She did more than what she said she was going to do. And you talk like that and you should deliver it. And that was the only thing I had to say about Candace's numbers.
I mean, the singing was, it was singing, you know, it was singing.
I can't nervous, do it. Guys.
She was nervous.
But give me a fucking break. You're nervous. Isn't this what you want to do? I mean, Mia was saying it too. Mia was like, this is, you're a performer. Like, are you a singer or not? Like, if so, I do stand-up comedy. If someone in that setting, if Jerry Seinfeld, if I was at the reunion of the Real House Comedians of Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and it was me and seven other jabronis, and Jerry Seinfeld sat down and was like, tell me your best joke. I would be like, I'm fucking going to tell you my best fucking joke right now. And if I was to sit there and be like, I don't know which one is my best joke, I think I would be embarrassed for myself watching it back. Sorry. That's how I feel.
No, you're right. And because everyone kept saying Ashley didn't have a plot this season, but Candace, besides the Mia fight that progressed naturally, the plot she brought into this season was that she was a singer now. She was filming a music album. Right. So she should come to the reunion ready to back that up. Not sing a gospel song.
To the reunion with background dancers. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Literally, as soon as Nicki Minaj was like, sing Drive Back, she should have just been like, boy, I make me. Immediately. Are you kidding me? Choreo. That's right. What I would have done.
We'll see. I think it's because, like, as a stand-up myself, I think it's because maybe it's different. My mother sings or was a singer, so, like, she'd take the spotlight whenever, but you'll take any time that people will give you. I'll do a tie five at a funeral.
I know.
So I think that's
for real.
I think that's different. So for her, it's like, but for her to be like, oh, I don't want to do it. And then for her to start singing, and it's very shaky because she's nervous. And it wasn't a good look. It wasn't a good look for her. She got looser and it got better towards the end.
It did. She is good. That was the thing that really pissed me off too, is that you are good. Sing it.
It just shows she's not experienced. That's what that shows. She's not an experienced entertainer.
Right. And that's another thing I was going to say is, like, if I was in that situation year two of stand-up, I would be like, I don't know. But now in my current, I'd be like, I'm ready. Let's go. You want to do 5, 10? 12. Let me when I have 2 minutes
I'll
left.
Keep
I got
going.
I'll keep going. I'll keep going. 30. Yeah. Just let me when you want me to be over. I'm done. I got jokes.
I got my type 45 is ready.
Yeah. But that does show inexperience on her part. You are absolutely right. I agree with that. But she was good. I did enjoy her voice. She has a great voice.
She does.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just like, I think that's,
I'm
part
saying
of
that
thing,
so
talent.
No one comes for me. Yeah.
But also because it's true. It's true, though. It's like you can't, there's no substitute for experience. You can have talent, but you have to clock those hours. You have to clock that time. And she didn't have the experience of, like, you know, singing probably. She said she's been singing her whole life. There's a difference between singing your whole life and, I guess, the way she did, because she was like a beauty queen. So maybe she was like in control and she sang. But that's different than like going out and like singing in an open mics like three nights a week. Or doing whatever. It's a totally different vibe. And it's clear that she hasn't. So then it becomes the question of, like, you know, well, do you deserve the success? Because you clearly haven't worked for it. You know, I don't want to get into the stand-up part of that. So I'm just going to leave it there.
That's a whole worm.
That's a whole other thing.
There's a whole can and worms and everything.
She doesn't have to pay her dues. We don't have to make her do that. She's already famous. And as Donnie told me, once you're good at one thing, you can do whatever you want.
That is how I feel. And once you are successful at one thing, once you're rich enough from one thing, she is a housewife and she's in this world. If she has the money to go, she said she wasn't signed. So she got a record at whatever, that's a studio, recording studio, and recorded this on her own without being signed. If that's what you want to do with your money, do it. Quinn, if you become successful at stand-up comedy and then you want to have a music album, if you want to be in porn, if you want to be in a movie, then produce it yourself. Whatever you want, go for it.
I mean, three of those women are selling multiple.
Yes.
Three of those women are selling different various wicks of candles. Do you know what I mean? Like, now Wendy is selling a 7-wick candle for what? You know what I mean? For why?
Mia has a 9-wick now.
I mean, it's just and so, like,
9-wick,
you know,
like
exactly.
I said, that's not a candle, that's a fireplace.
If you can't hold a tune, sell some 9-wick candles.
Exactly.
The point is to get out there, because that is what is American. You sell yourself until you can't sell yourself anymore. And if you're not selling, you're buying. That's America, baby.
But I really love Coffee and Love, and I want Ashley to come out with an album.
Oh, God.
Can't stand her, but yeah.
Gus, I listen to that song like, once a day. Guts.
I just like how Nicki Minaj hated her so much. I was like, you want nothing to do with Ashley, and I love it. She was like, I'm here, hello, rat-ta-ta-ta, Ashley, your marriage is a sham, what's up? Let's do it. I was like, damn.
Well, that's what's crazy to me. And I, back to Nicki Minaj's marriage. Do you think that the reason she hates Ashley is because what you hate in other people is what you hate about yourself? Like, if we were to compare Nicki's marriage to any of the women on that stage, it's Ashley's, right?
It's Ashley's. Yeah.
Probably. I mean, it's just, I don't like, you know, lumping a woman in with her husband, you know, not, I don't want to do the, you know, the Hillary Clinton, Tammy Faye Baker thing of it all. But if you're going to support him and not hold him accountable for what, you know, these allegations are, then you kind of lend yourself to this kind of criticism.
Yeah.
She also brought herself into the Bravoverse, which has arguably some of the most critical fans I have ever in my life.
And you mix the barbs in.
Right. The only thing worse than a barb is a candy gal.
Oh.
This episode, I'm sure, has the internet abuzz.
Well, I did find it like Chris made a huge mistake. Chris, you're on a hot mic and you're going to be like, I didn't like what Nicki Minaj did to you. I'm like, well, take it up with, I don't know, Nicki Minaj, you idiot. Right. What are you doing right now? Like, shut up. Like, do this when you get home.
Yeah, like that didn't need to be done. But that's classic Chris. Like, he has, like, that's why, you know, that whole thing about when Candace said that Michael was white privileged, I'm like, and Chris isn't? Like, all I see whenever they get into an argument, first of all, I love to see white people not getting along. So I love when Chris and Michael fight. Love that. But it's like, you can't say one is white privileged and the other one isn't, because Chris shouldn't even be here. Like, we don't hear this from Juan. We don't hear this from Eddie. Yeah. I wish Juan was on screen as much as Chris. I wish.
My issue with what Chris said at the end to Candace after she sang off key for the most part, let's just say it. No, I'm kidding. No, she was great. I'm just kidding. But what my issue was. Yeah, whatever. It's like so funny to me.
It wasn't a run. It was a fall.
Yeah. But he didn't say like, hey, great job. Good job doing that. So cool. Yeah. He immediately was like, I didn't like that. And I have dated guys that have done that before. Like, I'll get off stage and I won't have my best set. And, or like, I'll feel self-conscious about like something that went wrong, even though it was a good set. And they'll feed into that. And that for me is such, I hated when people did that. Cause it's like right now, don't do that right now. Wait tomorrow. Wait till like I'm ready to have that discussion. Until right now, right now I just need your support. Right now I just need you to be like, that was great. That was so cool. Awesome. You know? And for him to say that, I thought was just like a really rude thing to say to her.
It was. And I do agree with Giselle. I think it was good for her because she does need to get out of her comfort zone. She does need to do it. And, you know, until you get to the situation where like you have to perform, you're not prepared, or you have to, for instance, go longer than you're ready to go, longer you've ever been before, that you grow from stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I do think this was good for her ultimately. And he should have focused on that, because she did pull it out and she did deliver. You were going to say something, Donnie.
No, I just think it's very clear, like out of all the husbands in this show, he is the one that like, if husbands were allowed to have whatever they hold, champagne glass, cherry blossom, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he wants to be a housewife.
They hold a prawn in Potomac.
I feel like he wants to be a housewife himself. And I feel like him doing this, we do know he's protective of her, but I feel like he was doing it on camera with a mic to get a moment.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do think he was trying to be supportive, because I do think there's a lot of talk about him not being supportive. I just think he was supportive in the wrong way. I think it's kind of both of those things.
Like, at the end of the day, she sang for an American Idol judge, for God's sake. Like, this was a good career move.
It was.
I did not even realize that she is an American Idol judge. I don't even keep up. Yeah. I don't keep up with that show. So that's so funny. I don't.
But I did know she was on it because it was heavily publicized. So That brings us to the end of the episode. What are our final thoughts? Let's start. We'll give Gus a moment to think. Let's start with you, Donnie. What's your final thought?
Oh, I've said everything basically so far, but I think Nicki was an odd casting choice. I did have some issues with her like performance, not even like her biography aside. I do think she was a little ingenuine, but I think having someone else besides Andy let these conversations go in a way that Andy, like, he would have cut these women off a lot sooner. So I do think these conversations went to new places we've never seen them go before, even though they were all regurgitated conversations that we had had before. It's stuff we heard, but yes. New stuff about it.
I agree. I mean, when you look at all four parts of the reunion, it doesn't really add anything to it. Like, no conversation is new. It is just kind of like, here's a fun 44 minutes with Nicki Minaj, essentially. And that's okay. I mean, I had fun. I had definitely a lot more fun watching this one than I watched like part two and three, to be honest.
Yeah.
And like, if this was part three, I think it would have been an excellent three-part reunion. But here we are, you know, now having like, I think like Andy should have just been, had just prepped her with like, hey, here's like three topics we didn't get to. I don't understand why it had to be like, I'm doing my questions. You're doing your questions. Yes. Just like send an email. It doesn't have to be a meeting, Andy. Like literally just send an email and say like, hey, this is what we're not touching. You can do this, you know, Andy, touch this part.
Yeah. Andy should have just left Ashley alone and let Nikki come out and attack.
Cause she
Ashley.
Clearly had some thoughts and feelings about it. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So, but overall I enjoyed it. I think this was a good season of Potomac. I still think it's like top tier for me. Like I love the show. I love them all. I think they're very fun together. And I don't know. I'm excited. I think Mia's going to have a really good second season, to be honest.
I think she is too, when she sees herself and then she adjusts as what housewives do.
Yeah, hopefully I think she's a good housewife.
Me too.
Yeah, because she doesn't mind getting in the dirt. And we love that. We love that.
She also is so smart sometimes about how she responds to people. And I really appreciate that. Like Wendy just lets herself go. And it's like, no, Wendy, come on. You're a commentator. You have arguments that are like nuanced and like calm. And you could see Wendy turn it on. Like when they talked about colorism, Wendy turned her like, you know, like commentator voice and like demeanor on. And I was like, that's what I want more of from Wendy. I wish that we had gotten that this season because I like that part of her a lot. She's very smart.
Yeah.
And Mia brings a lot of that to the table with her big feet.
Big feet. I think a big part of that is that Wendy knows about colorism. I think she knows about it from an academic level, from a personal level. So she's able to do that. I think a lot of the asinine and inane things that happen in Housewives, she doesn't have a lot of experience with because she's always been so scholarly. So now we see her like doing the stuff that she's not really familiar with. And I think that's why we get off the rails, Wendy, in a lot of ways.
And I also think, to add to that, I also think that she came in last year being smart and being focused on her 4 degrees and address me correctly, Dr. Wendy, to you. And she saw the feedback about that. So now she didn't really let herself get into that mindset until it was something she really was passionate about from a like smart, educated point of view, the colorism. And that's when she was like, oh, I have something to contribute. But it was just a regular conversation. I don't think she let herself be smart.
That's totally, yeah. I agree with that.
I'm going to say for my final thought, 4 parts for Potomac was not necessary. But I loved it because I love whenever we get these women all together. I think they're one of the few franchises where just having them all together on screen, you're never going to be bored. So I appreciate that. And I will also say this. Nicki Minaj was way more entertaining than I thought she would be. All your personal feelings or my personal feelings about her aside, I do think she learned a lot. She was fun. I loved watching her do it. And I now want Bravo to do other people to come and do these reunions. So let's have Rihanna come out, because I think Rihanna said she wanted to do it. Let's have Sia come out and do it backwards in a chair. Let's see these things. I want to see that.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Yes, let's get these divas and these people who watch Potomac and watch franchises and everything who are just as maladjusted as we are and overly invested come and talk about this. Know that.
Yeah, she was so much more entertained. I really was like, Nikki, they kept teasing it up. And then I was like, I'm having fun. Nicki Minaj is very fun. She really, she knows how to crank out those one-liners like nobody else. Like, she's fun. And I enjoyed it. Yeah, I agree with you. That would be awesome. Like, to do like, yeah, like just one celebrity come on. It'd be brilliant. And it's a great ratings boost for the end of the season. Why not?
Think about who you can get. Like, all those people who host all those shows. Like, you end up with Chrissy Teigen. You can end up with like all these people who will come and do it. Like, and it'll be,
I would love to see Chrissy Teigen do one of these. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And like, you know, I would like to see other housewives come back, like old housewives come back and do it. But that kind of gets into the Bad Girls Club territory. We don't need to do that.
Or at least let's just put Chrissy Teigen at the bar, like how she is on lip sync battle. Just on the one side.
One thing I did realize that it did was that with Nikki there, it the fourth wall really does break down a little bit.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I enjoyed that aspect of it. Like there were times where you could tell that they were just talking about the show mm-hmm. where it wasn't like, hey, like what happened on the show? It was like, no. This is why this happened yeah. on this show. And mm-hmm. I actually think it adds a new level to it. And I wish that when they do bring other celebrities on, if they do, it does do that. It like really breaks down the fourth wall a little bit.
Yeah. Between this and Girls Trip, it really is delivering a lot of fourth wall breakage. It's incredible.
Girls Trip is so good. It's incredible.
I have not watched it at all.
Oh, it's so good.
You have to watch it. You have to watch it.
I just can't stand Ramona at all. Like she's really unwatchable for me.
Well, she's the devil.
So. Yeah.
She's really like, for me, it's like, oh, can I watch you as a reality star? And then now it's like, oh, I just wish you weren't still alive. You know, it's that point. Really, so I'm sorry. Cancel me for that. I don't care.
No, I think that's a perfect way to end the show.
It is a perfect way to end the show. Thank you again for coming, Gus, to talk to us about all this craziness. Please let everybody know where they can find you if they don't already know.
Thanks so much for having me. This was so much fun. You can follow me at Constantly Gus on every social media platform if you like.
All right.
Perfect.
And I think that does it. We did it, fellas. And thank you all for listening. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast.
If you'd like to support the show, be sure to visit www.patreon.com/knowthatpod.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Know That Pod.
You can follow me, Donnie, on Instagram at Donnie Hadfield Smith.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Quinn Lamar.
Continue to listen and support for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.